nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win.
Please stand.
Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. This is my story, this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard. And He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Yes, Father, we bring it all before you. Lord, we know we can trust you with everything. You never fail. Lord, you never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, we lift up your name today. God, that you are good, you are holy, you are righteous, and you are just. We pray that you would have your will in your way this morning. God, that we'd leave here worshiping the one true risen King, Jesus Christ, who remains risen, who is still alive, who's still doing a mighty work all across our community, across this state, across this nation, and across the world. And we pray it all in his name. Amen. Church, I invite you to take a seat. Well, good morning. Hey, if you didn't know, it's cold outside. Okay? And did anybody, okay, who had negative 10 this morning when they looked at their thermometer? Anybody had a couple? Negative 15. Okay, 19. Big 2-0. Who had negative? Okay, we'll keep 25. Anybody? Anybody get a 25? Maybe a 30? Maybe a 40? I looked at it was about negative 19. But yeah, it's. I think once you get below zero, it's just all the same. It's just bitterly cold. You don't really want to do anything. So appreciate y'all for coming. Hey, it's a wonderful morning. Of course, if you're at home, you're nice and warm and toasty by the fire. Should have been here because you're missing out. But we're still glad you're tuning in. Hey, but as we do, we're continuing in our All In series. As we're working through Colossians, taking it verse by verse and chapter by chapter, seeking to be all in for Jesus Christ, giving him everything we have, hey, every bit of our minds, our souls, hey, our spirit, our strength, to live in greater devotion to him. And we started this whole thing a couple weeks back, hey, asking, hey, do you have what it takes? Are you committed? Are you ready to be all in for Jesus? And my prayer for that was you said, yes, hey, I'm all in. We're all in as a church. So we went in last week. Hey, to what it looks like to be all in with prayer, becoming prayer warriors that Paul shares as he gives his letter to the church at Colossae. He gives this wonderful prayer for them that he asks for God's wisdom and God's knowledge and understanding, and he shows them really what it looks like to be that prayer warrior. So we jumped into that last week, and we're committed to prayer. Now this week we're looking at what it looks like to be all in with the gospel. All in with the gospel, and we're going to work chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, as Paul kind of pens that out for us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But as we do, to be all in for the gospel, we got to clear some things up. All right, because there's a whole lot of gospel misconceptions about Jesus, and that's what we're really going to do this morning as we jump in. But before we do that, we're going to look at just some common misconceptions. First one, we got, hey, double bubble gum. Where's my gum chewers at? Okay, my kids are raising their hand because they chew gum all the time and put it places it's not supposed to go. But hey, the common misconception, maybe you heard this one on the school bus when you were young. Hey, if you chew gum and you swallow that gum, it takes 7 years for your body to digest that gum. The school bus myth. False. Okay, yes, a lot of gum is undigestible, but it still passes through the body at any rate as normal food does. Next one, Twinkies. Who loves Twinkies? All right, Twinkies are great. Hey, but if you like Twinkies, you got to go with the Swiss cake roll. Okay, that's got the chocolate covering with the white on top of it. It's really good. But hey, the misconception, Twinkies, hey, they last forever. Okay, it doesn't matter how long you have them, you can still eat them. They're still going to be good. Do not recommend, okay? They say, hey, the shelf life is about 45 days. I would say that's a little short. I'd say maybe 90, maybe 120, if you're really a Twinkie fan. Okay, but they don't last forever. They still have an expiration date. The Toads, okay, this is mama's best friend. This was the one to get the kids to put down the frogs. Hey, Toads and frogs give you warts. Put it down. Wash your hands. Moms, I'm sorry to burst the bubble. False. Okay, hey, yeah, most warts are from a virus or skin infection, a viral infection, human papillomavirus. a lot of what causes war is not necessarily frogs or toads. Though, kids, if you're playing with frogs or toads, yes, put them down. Wash your hands before you eat. It's gross and disgusting. Okay, so wash your hands. Good hygiene practice. It's kind of common misconceptions that we need to clear up. And the same thing goes for us with the gospel. I mean, there's some common misconceptions out there about the good news of Jesus, exactly who Jesus is, what he did, what he brings. And we're going to dive into that this morning, and we're going to see that Paul clears that up too for the church at Colossae, and in doing so shows us, hey, what the gospel is all about and how to be all in for the gospel, Jesus Christ. All right, we need to get pumped up. It's cold outside, but it's still like almost 69, 70 degrees in here, okay? We can make it. Then we'll kick you back out, and then you got to go brave the weather again. You're on your own after the next hour and a half or so with the annual meeting. Hey, but turn with me, Colossians chapter 1, starting there in verse 15. We're going to read through verse 23 and then really dive in here. The word of the Lord. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and now hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you are so good. Lord, we lift up your name. You are above all. Lord, you hold that supreme position over all things. God, as we dive in this morning, Lord, as we look at your word and we see what the gospel is all about, Lord, we pray that you'd clear up some of these misconceptions. Lord, that we'd really see you for who you are. Lord, we'd see what you've done and what you continue to bring. And Lord, we pray that these truths would be crystal clear in our hearts. And Lord, as we commit to them, Lord, that you would change not only us from the inside out by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, but you would change those around us. Lord, you would start drawing a lost community to yourself. And Lord, many would come to call you King, would lift up the name of Jesus and submit to the good news. And Lord, we pray as we come in this morning that we all bring something. No matter what it is, if it's life beating us down, if it's the unknown, if it's anxiety, if it's sickness, if it's fear, if it's doubt, Lord, we're all walking through something, but Lord, let's leave it at the cross this morning. Knowing that you bring exactly what you need in the right time, in the right moment. We pray all these things in the powerful and precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, church, as we dive into that, you know, we've kind of really been here for a few weeks now as we've started there in verses 1 through 2, then 3 through 14, now 15 through 23. And what Paul does here, remember, understanding this is a letter written by Paul as he's kind of detained or under house arrest. And he's writing because Epaphras, who planted the church in Colossae, has gone to Paul and has kind of given him kind of a state of the union or a state of the church there. To Paul. So Paul writes in response to that. And remember, as he started in verses 1 through 2, kind of introduces himself, say, hey, it's me, Paul. This is what I'm all about. I'm you know, the apostle. Hey, and then gives this wonderful prayer asking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that the church there would learn what God has got him walking through to walk in a manner worthy of his call. And now he kind of takes this sharp turn. He goes from introduction and prayer into like deep doctrinal truth. And that's really where we're going to be today. We're going to really be swimming in the deep end of the theological pool. And as he does, what he's doing is he's refuting those false teachings and those heresies that were infiltrating the church that had been brought to his attention. And he really starts right at the beginning with what we'd call the preeminence of Christ. Preeminence mean, hey, the superiority of Jesus, that he holds this special position over all things, that he's got all authority, all rule, and all reign because of who he is. And in doing so, as Paul pens this, I mean, he goes into a lot of stuff that we're going to dive into, but he says, hey, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, that all of God's presence is pleased to dwell in the Son. And really, as he does this, he's clearing the waters for the church. Because remember what's happened. Jesus has been downgraded in the church there. Jesus isn't holding this high position because some people had come in and say, it's Jesus, hey, plus religious ritual. You've got it kind of going back to the Jewish custom. Hey, you got to follow some of this stuff that we've seen or that we've practiced, plus Jesus. Hey, and that's where salvation and spiritual maturity comes from. And what that does is it degrades the name of Jesus. Or it's not only believing in Jesus, but Jesus is this one of many gods, or this prophet or this angel. And with that, you need Jesus plus some special knowledge that only a select few have. But Paul says, nope, that's all junk. That's all nonsense. Hey, and it's only about Jesus and Jesus alone. And he brings gospel clarity. Now, we have some of our own problems as the modern day church, and we're going to kind of throw some of those up alongside of what Paul is teaching here, and we're going to refute some of those and clear some of those up, because we, just like the church at Colossae, we've got some of that within culture. You could say, hey, the majority of culture says, hey, yeah, Jesus, real. I can get down on Jesus being real. Hey, but Jesus is merely human. Or, hey, yeah, Jesus is real, walked this earth, but hey, he's not God. He was a good moral teacher. He teaches us how to live. He gives us that model of living. And we're going to refute a lot of that stuff as we dive into what Paul brings here with God, with gospel clarity. And the first one we see, hey, that gospel clarity comes by knowing the truth of who Jesus is. First and foremost, gospel clarity comes by knowing the truth of who Jesus is. We'll start there in verses 15 through 19. We'll reread those. Paul says, hey, he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Now that clears up. That's everything. Hey, Paul didn't skip anything there. Hey, in heaven and on earth, hey, all things visible and invisible, hey, they were created, hey, through Jesus and for Jesus. Hey, you don't get it mixed up. Hey, and then as he continues, hey, not only is it created through him and for him, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He might be, superior. That he might hold all authority, all rule. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's a big chunk of doctrine, a big theological statement that Paul pens out there in only four short verses. And it's very important, because what Paul is doing is he wants the correct picture of Jesus Christ for the church. Now, this almost might seem like a no-brainer to the whole church. But if we don't have the correct view of who Jesus is, hey, then we don't truly have salvation. Because, and let me, that might be a scary statement for some of us, but hey, let's look at John chapter 14, verse 6, because Jesus brings this home. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's all about Jesus and a correct understanding of who he is. That's why he asked his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said to him, some say John the Baptist. Hey, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or some other prophet. But Jesus asked them, but who do you say the Son of Man is? Or who do you say that I am? This is where Simon Peter pipes up. And he says, hey, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is very important that we have the correct knowledge and truth of who Jesus really is. Jesus is not mere man. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is not mere man. And if we don't correctly know who Jesus is and we don't have a correct understanding, hey, then we don't have the way to eternal life. Because, hey, Jesus is God in human flesh. Jesus is not a prophet. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is the prophet. He is the Son. He is God in human flesh. Paul says there in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. Meaning, hey, when we look at Jesus, hey, that's what we see. Hey, we see the Father. We see, hey, his character, his nature, his attributes. We can see it, hey, in the flesh. But he's not just a mere representation of something. Because Paul goes even further. He starts to pen all this stuff out that we already read. Hey, that he's the firstborn of all creation. That all things were created through him and for him. Hey, but the big one here. All of God was pleased to dwell in the Son. Meaning, hey, not only do we see God, his nature and his characteristics as we look at the Son, Jesus, but hey, all of the triune Godhead, hey, everything that it stands for, hey, is in the Son. Why is that important? Because, hey, Jesus fulfilled what the law could not. Because it takes, hey, God himself to redeem his people from their sin. Only God could be that all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross to pay the debt that we owe because of our sin. And if we don't understand who Jesus is, we've got a misconstrued, a great misconception of the gospel. Hey, and this is a really big, I wouldn't say necessarily in our area, but hey, across the world, a really big, a really large belief, hey, yes, that Jesus was a real person, that yes, that Jesus walked this earth, hey, but that's what he was mere man like me and you. Hey, but when we look at God's word, it refutes all that. It says, hey, all that false belief is junk. Hey, and Jesus reigns over all, that he is preeminent, that he is superior, that he holds all rule and authority. Why? Because, hey, Jesus is God in the flesh. There is no other. It's not Jesus plus many other ways. And no, it's only Jesus. And if we're going to get the gospel right, and we're going to bring it home, and we're going to say, hey, we're going to be committed to sharing it and being all in with the gospel, hey, we got to get it correct. That is by no other name than by the name of Jesus Christ, hey, that we can find salvation. And this really brings weight to our walk with him. I'll share with you, I remember very kind of early on in my military career, maybe halfway through or so, I was doing a briefing, working alongside some special operations folks from the Navy. So it's Army SF team and some special operations Navy guys called Navy SEALs, whatever you want to call them. You know, they're second tier to Green Berets. Anyway, so we were giving this briefing, and their commanding officer, you know, because they're second tier, of course, they were in charge of the operation because they needed to feel good. And their commanding officers, who we're giving the briefing to, and he's a Navy captain. And I'm thinking, okay, Navy captain, Army captain, I know what captains are, rank structure the same, you know, good to go. So I show up, I'm in my civilian clothes, you know, I'm looking cool, looking ready to go. And I don't use the formal sirs. You know, I'm using the bros and the what's up mans, because we've got a captain on our team, and that's how we chat. So I figured Navy captain, same thing. So I give my portion of the briefing on the intelligence and the communication piece, as we were going to get off their special cool boats that they got, you know, that they put in Hollywood movies and everything. And we were gonna dive in. We were gonna do the real work. We were gonna dive into the water and infiltrate the objective. And, you know, after it got done, I felt pretty good. Like, hey, we're ready to go. We're ready to do this thing. I got a very stern talking to after all that was over by my captain. And he goes, Jeff, what are you doing? See, what I didn't know is that an Army captain and a Navy captain are not the same thing. They use the same word, but a Navy captain is what we would call in the Army a full bird colonel. So at that point, after that, was said, I've made a big mistake. Because I knew at any point, if we were going to brief a full bird colonel, I was usually in uniform. I was using yes, sir, no, sir. I was usually standing at attention or parade rest to show my great respect for the position. And very shortly after that, hey, when we had to redo the briefing on my account because I needed to get myself right, hey, I realized, hey, the position that person held. When we understand who Jesus is, that he's not mere man, but, hey, Jesus is God in the flesh, hey, it puts weight behind the gospel. It puts weight behind what he gives us in his word. It's not some mere man giving us something, say, hey, here's some good advice on how you should live. Hey, follow it blindly. No, hey, it's God revealing himself to his people through his son, Jesus Christ, hey, commanding us as his followers and believers to say, this is how you go about it. Hey, when that's the person giving you the advice and giving you the commands and giving you the guidance, hey, you listen. It brings about reverence and respect and an awe of who Jesus is. It puts weight behind the gospel. We got to have a correct understanding of the deity of Jesus Christ. But then as we continue, Paul continues to bring gospel clarity, not only by sharing, hey, the truth of who Jesus is, hey, but the truth of what Jesus did. The truth of what Jesus did. Hey, let's continue verses 20 through 22. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Now Paul, as he pens this out, he really gives, hey, our state and our sinful nature as he couples it together with what Christ did. And we're going to start there. He says, hey, you who were once alienated. This is a long Greek word, very short English word, alienated, very long, hey, Greek word, all apolatriao in the Greek, meaning, hey, completely separated, completely shut off. If you think of, hey, we're in this building, there's no windows, there's no doors, you are either in here or you are not. In our sinful state, in our sinful nature, we would not be in that building. We would be shut off, completely separated. And that's what Paul said. In our sinful state, that's where we are. We're separated from Christ. No amount of works, no amount of Bible reading, no amount of church attendance, no amount of Sunday school, small group, moral living, hey, we'll bring that back into the right state. Paul says, hey, that's where you once were. That's where we are in our sin. Completely separated, out of fellowship with. But he says, hey, Christ has done something to change that. That he has reconciled the sinner. That Jesus reconciled the sinner. I mean, hey, Jesus has brought us into the right state. He has brought us into that fellowship. Us who were once completely outside, hey, are now in because of life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's brought us into right relationship with God. He has reconciled the sinner. Now, what is this for you? Hey, common misconception that, hey, when we look at Jesus, it's pretty easy to say, hey, yeah, Jesus came, yeah, he walked this earth. And really, I mean, hey, Jesus was a good person who shows us how to live. He shows us how to handle people we don't want to talk to. He shows us how to love people who we wouldn't really want to love. He shows us how to have purpose and how to live morally right and correct and operate in a society that needs rules and laws. Jesus is the shining example. Now, that's true. Jesus does give us that example as believers. But more importantly than that, hey, if you said, hey, I'm just going to try to live like Jesus lived, I'm going to try to follow his example, and I never repent of my sin and put my faith and trust in him that he paid the debt to reconcile me, hey, you're spinning your wheels. Because the gospel is not, hey, follow Jesus, hey, and live right and do what he does and you're saved from your sin. Hey, the gospel is repent of your sin, put your faith and trust in Jesus, hey, and he gives forgiveness and eternal life and you're born again. That's the gospel. Hey, and that life change comes as we're reconciled, as we're brought back into right relationship with him. His Holy Spirit indwells in us, and he starts to change us from the inside out. That's where that change comes from. But we got to get right first. And when we don't bring this home, hey, that Jesus reconciled the sinner, we can find ourselves in some problems. Hey, and he even tells us this is our message, the message of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And all this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us with the message of reconciliation. Hey, this is our message as the gospel, that, hey, Jesus saves us from our sin. If we don't preach that we're sinners who need a Savior, hey, we never can point people to Jesus. It's, hey, come here and find a better life. And what we do when we do that, hey, we're giving false hope. We say, hey, you know what? If you just come, your life's a mess. It's all messed up. You got it all backwards. But hey, come to church, kick the tires, hey, and Jesus will fix everything for you. Take them for a test drive. Some people will come. They'll go, hey, I mean, who wouldn't want that? I would want my problems to go away. I'll take Jesus for a test drive. Well, what happens very shortly after somebody gets behind the wheel, they start kicking the tires, they realize, hey, man, this Christian life, it's pretty tough. Hey, it comes along with a spiritual battle. That's real. That comes with some ups and downs, some mountaintops and some valley experiences. Hey, some trials, some tribulations. And as they start to kick those tires, they start to take Jesus for a test drive, like, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for the Jesus that fixes all my problems. I didn't need more. And very shortly after that, hey, it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I wanted my problem fixed, and it seems like I've maybe got some more problems. My life's gotten harder. But that's false hope and a false gospel. When we understand who Jesus is, what he came to accomplish, and what he did, that he reconciled sinners, and we're born again, and hey, we have the promise of eternal life, we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, hey, Is that the best life? You bet it is. Do we find, hey, a joy that can never be taken away? 100%. Do we find Jesus, hey, that he starts to change us from the inside out? He starts to chip away some of that sinful stuff and starts to correct our path? You bet he does. Is it difficult? Yup. Is the spiritual battle real? You bet. Is there going to be trials and tribulations and things that are going to be meant to chip away that sin and help us persevere and shape us into the image of Christ? Yes. But when we bring gospel clarity, hey, we bring gospel strength by the power of Jesus, because we tell people what they're getting into. And we say it as a staff here all the time, even in the tough times, Wednesdays, maybe when stuff's falling apart, can't find anybody, stuff's going crazy, we look at each other, hey, we say, hey, it is worth it. Why? Because Jesus still saves. Because Jesus still does a work in each one of us. And those short moments when we get to look at each other and go, hey, guess what happened last week? Hey, somebody gave their life to Jesus. And we get to say, hey, all that stuff we worked through this past 2 weeks where it was hard and it was tough, hey, it made it worth it. when we get to see the church come together and praise the name of Jesus and lift hands, and people say, you know what, hey, my life has been tough, but I see now that Jesus was bringing me something through something for this specific purpose. That's where as a church we say, it's worth it. When we get to look back at the 1970s when this church was planted down the street in a tiny chapel, and we say, hey, look what Jesus has done now. You think all those years, hey, the budget wasn't short? Give me a break. You think all the times everybody was absolutely happy and everything was sunshine and rainbows? No. But look where we're at. Look how many people we've had come to Christ. Look how many baptisms we've had. Look how many junior leaders we send to camp. Look how many people we got in small groups and Awana and people attending Wednesday night studies and Sunday schools. It's worth it. And guess what? We don't know if tomorrow's guaranteed. We could vote on our budget today and everything we got going, and tonight at 5 o'clock, Jesus could come back. Hey, and what's our prayer? Hey, that he would say, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. We've got to lean into him. We've got to bring gospel clarity. Hey, and then lastly, not only the truth, hey, of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, hey, but what Jesus brings. What Jesus continues to bring. Hey, we understand the gospel is believing in Jesus, repenting of our sin, placing our faith and trust in him, that he paid that debt on the cross, that his shed blood is enough, that he rose from the grave. Hey, when we believe in that, we have eternal life. We have forgiveness. That's the ultimate thing that Jesus brings. He brings eternal life. But he continues to bring many things to us as believers. And Paul dives into this here as we get into verse 23. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, all right, I want everybody to shake it out. We're going to really get into some stuff here. Get into some stuff in 6 minutes, okay? And we're going to get through. Because as we read that, you could read that and go, man, hey, it almost sounds like Paul's sharing, hey, I could lose my salvation. Because he's tying it back to verse 22, where he says, holy and presentable, to the Lord. Hey, if you continue, I'm just going to reread it because I've messed it up there in verse 22. So he says, he has now reconciled us in his body, the flesh, by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So as you see that, you could almost be like, is Paul talking about losing my salvation? That I'm only holy and blameless if I continue steadfast in all this? Is that what he's saying? And this all hinges on that little word, if. We're going to bring some gospel clarity. Because we can use if as a conditional word or in a conditional way. All my parents in the room have done this. If you say, hey, you look at your kids, you say, if you eat all your vegetables, you can have ice cream. Hey, if you do all your chores, you can get allowance. Or as my wife likes to tell me, if you're really nice to me, I might give you a kiss. Okay? That's using if as a conditional word or in a conditional way. But we can also use if as a declaration. If you can play Beethoven's Third Symphony on the piano, you are a true pianist. That's as a declaration. If you play basketball in the NBA, you are a professional basketball player. That's the difference between using if as a condition and using if as a declaration. And Paul is using it here as a declaration to say, hey, if you know who Jesus is, if you believe in the gospel and what he came to accomplish, hey, you, this is evidence of your faith, that you are going to continue steadfast and stable, and you are going to persevere. That's evidence of the gospel working in your life. Because nothing is scarier when we bring the gospel to somebody and say, hey, this is who Jesus is, this is what Jesus did, and he saves you from your sin, hey, but only if you act right. Only if you continue. And if you don't, you got to do it all over again. Hey, but Jesus brings us
security of our salvation and perseverance in faith. And we need to really bring this home. Because when we understand this, there is freedom in the gospel. There is freedom to not worry about making a mistake or falling short or having to tiptoe around these things, not thinking we're good enough for Jesus. He died for us because he says, hey, you're worth it. And he gives us in his word, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. As we repent of our sin, put our faith and trust in Jesus, that Holy Spirit indwelling in us, hey, is our seal, is our guarantee of the salvation that we have, that we get to fully realize, hey, as we die and we spend eternity with our Lord and Savior forever. Hey, as he shares that, he doesn't say, hey, the Holy Spirit, who is your guarantee only if you act right, your seal, hey, only if you don't fall short. Hey, the guarantee is forever. The seal is permanent. Then he continues to go on in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. As Jesus saves us from our sin, he starts this sanctification process, which he doesn't stop. He's going to bring it to a completion. He doesn't save us and start to sanctify us and say, you know what? You're not good enough anymore. I'm not going to sanctify you anymore. Go find somebody else. We read in God's word that he's going to bring it to completion. Hey, we may wander. We may take a left turn and we might start to backslide, if you will. Hey, but he's only going to let us go so far. And he's going to start to draw us back and start to correct that path, and he's going to help us persevere. And that's encouragement for somebody this morning. It's a scary thing to walk through life, to always be looking over your shoulder going, am I good enough for Jesus? Am I walking in a way that's good enough to where he's going to keep me in his hand? And when we bring gospel clarity, we understand that, hey, the salvation we have lasts forever. Hey, that we're secure, that no matter what it is we're walking through, the unknown, the anxiety, health problems, whatever it may be, Jesus says, hey, through all of that stuff, I'm walking with you. Through all of that stuff, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hey, you're going to endure. My name will still be lifted high. I'm going to see you through it. And when you can't walk anymore, I'm going to pick you up. That's encouragement. And we share the gospel and we're all in for it, understanding who Jesus is, hey, what Jesus accomplished and what Jesus brings. That brings us great freedom. That brings us great joy. That brings us great security. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads this morning. Each week we've kind of asked a question. That first one asking, hey, do you have what it takes? Are you willing to lean into Jesus? Last week asking, hey, are you willing to pray? Are you willing to become that prayer warrior? Well, this week it's kind of threefold. If this is the first time you've clearly heard the gospel, or you've clearly understood who Jesus is, what he accomplished and what he brings, hey, I invite you to submit to it. Call on his name. And maybe you've been walking with Jesus for quite some time. And as we're bringing gospel clarity, I want you to commit to sharing it this year. To really sharing, hey, the love and the truth of Jesus Christ and what he saved us from. And then I want you to rest in the gospel. I want you to be free to jump in and serve and not worrying about trying to not disappoint Jesus, because, hey, he loves you. I want you to be free to serve and free to praise and free to walk out this Christian life knowing that no matter what, hey, he holds you in his hand. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the gospel. We're so thankful for its life-transforming power. We're so thankful for the forgiveness we have because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful that we're born again, that you call us to a greater purpose, an abundant life. You call us to eternal life. You call us to sharing the gospel with all those around us. Lord, having faith that you're going to do the work that only you can do. Lord, I pray for that one or whoever's in here who's hearing this for the first time, Lord, and I just pray that they'd call out on your name. Lord Jesus, you are my King, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. You paid that debt only you could pay. You rose from the grave and my life is yours. Lord, I pray for your sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters, that we'd be committed to gospel clarity this year, that we'd bring truth to those who need it, that we'd bring hope and security in our salvation and perseverance and faith through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we bring the only thing that has power to give eternal life and forgiveness of sin, and that is your Son, Jesus. And we pray that it would change not only us as a church, but our whole community. So, Father, help us commit to that today. Help us lift up your name in the new life we have, praising you because you are worth every bit. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I invite you to stand. We're going to sing Living Hope together. And as we do, understand, hey, we serve a Savior who is alive, who is risen, who is living. And if you got to praise that this morning, hey, I pray you to bring it forward. Maybe you've got somebody you're committing in prayer to the gospel that you're going to share with. Come forward. I'd love to pray with you. Well, let's sing and let's praise together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. The promise. your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living.